Welcome back, everybody. This is episode 3 of our podcast titled In Science We Trust, featuring yours truly, Miguel Valentino.
And Allison Beltran.
Welcome back. Always a pleasure to be here.
Contractually obligated to be here.
And honestly, aren't we all? This episode, we're actually going to be talking about self-driving cars, the pros and cons of it, what your take is, all of that good stuff that we got going on.
So, I think Miguel, when we were speaking before this, is taking a very pro side, which is good. I was being a little bit pessimistic about it, but you go first because I want to hear the pros. I'll admittedly, I've been focusing on the cons, and I have a lot of opinions on it, so you should go first.
I would say it's very realistic more than anything, but I will pay you dues. We'll see what you have to say in that case then.
Sure,
you first. So, pros. Self-driving cars. Everybody's been talking about them. You know, their cars, pretty self-explanatory. They're cars that are going to be driving themselves, so you don't need to be behind the wheel for that. It is pretty nice. As someone who is very lazy, I very much appreciate it. But I myself also am kind of anxious when I am behind the wheel, so it's almost like a comfort to know that somebody else is going to be doing the driving, and they're probably a little bit better at it than I am, so that's kind of nice. But pretty much the way that I actually didn't know this until we started looking up all the info for these episodes is that Google is the one that's spearheading most of these self-driving cars. They're the ones that are making the most of them.
They started it again. I mean, we've always wanted self-driving cars. I'm pretty sure since the inception of like cars, and once tech evolved, like getting, you know, basically the human out of the equation. They're just sitting there.
Oh, yeah.
But basically that it's, you know, jumping from the Jetsons over to now, I think Google was the company that made it like we have the tech to be able to do this, and then developing it after that. So,
Good point. So pretty much we went it. We're taking that route now. And it's really interesting because there's a good chunk of positives that have come out of it. One of the biggest ones is that anybody who is disabled or is actually unable to drive a car for, you know, numerous amounts of reasons, they have a reason to have a car now, and they could actually go about and like do things that they normally couldn't do without a car. They could actually have a mode of transportation. So that's definitely a big plus on that.
You know, I forgot about that, and that's good you brought it up again, because I was being very con about it. So I was thinking about, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I like that idea. My only counterpoint, quote-unquote, is that I guess with all the hubbub of self-driving cars and all these companies competing against each other and some of the accidents we've heard about, I'm more like, that would be good for disabled people, but for me, it would, at this point, like, self-driving cars is such a, like, they're trying to excite me with it. I'm like, I'm over that. When are we getting decent public transportation?
Mm-hmm. And that's one thing, too.
I'm more into that at this point. I'm like, that's great. Your car can stop when you tell it to. When am I getting a transportation system in California that doesn't suck?
Yep.
So that's where I'm coming from. Like, when you think about it, that's great for like disabled people who can. But these cars, I think for the foreseeable future and decades, are going to be super expensive.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because that's another con that does actually come into self-driving cars, is that most people are estimating that in order to afford one, you would have to pay around a total of $100,000 just to get one of these cars. Obviously, not everybody has $100,000 just kind of floating around, and it would be very difficult to try to buy one of these. So most people would probably end up sticking with their regular cars.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, since you mentioned public transportation, what's interesting is that if everybody were to get a self-driving car, a lot of people in the public transportation department would lose jobs.
Yeah, there just wouldn't be a need for it. I mean, the idea of these getting on the road in mass succession, it's possible, but there'll be so many people left behind. I mean, a lot of cities are already kind of regulating for Uber and for Lyft because they're using up a lot of space, basically. A lot of cars on the road, driving around a lot of people. So they're investing into that, making sure those have regulations and not into, again, public transportation. Because it doesn't make money. It covers its costs, maybe. But unfortunately, when you're looking, if everything's profit-driven, there's no money going into anything public. Because that's not supposedly that's not where you make profit. So unfortunately, that's why that's been left on the wayside.
Mm-hmm. I will say, though, admittedly, that I myself, I don't know about you, but I personally hate traffic. I can't stand it. If everybody had self-driving cars, or if we had a lot more self-driving cars, it's really interesting because the way that the cars work is they communicate to each other via computers that are installed on the cars. So because of that, we wouldn't really have any more phantom traffic going on the freeway because the cars could maneuver and communicate with one another so that they could be closer to the cars. So there's less distance in between them, meaning that there's not as much traffic. They can move smoother. And what's interesting, too, is that because of that, cars would theoretically be able to go a lot faster because they can, again, it's that communication system with the computers, so they can move a lot faster. And because of that, people are speculating that the speed limit could actually go up because of that.
Pedestrians.
We gotta talk about that.
Is the car gonna stop in time for the pedestrian? Or anyone just who thinks they're gonna be able to cross like the street really quick and the car's going 80 on like a pub, you know, like on the street instead of the freeway, the street. So pedestrians is one thing. The second thing is that that kind of communication with the between the cars requires that the other car either also be self-driving or that the tech on the car that's self-driving is so advanced it can read like a normal car and it's like, oh, that's a car, so I better slow down and move around it if it's going too slow. See, that's the thing too. How about if your self-driving car is like, oh, we're at a good pace, but you're late. You want the car to miss this car and go around it. But your self-driving car is like, no, I don't see the need to. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, it's overridden your input because for safety reasons. So then I wonder if there'll be that switch. It's like you can push a click that says, no, on driver mode. Mm-hmm. And how easy does it go into driver mode? Because you don't want to do that 80 miles per hour.
Oh, no.
So that's another thing that's interesting to me. Is there any way to go like, oh, you can turn off the automatic and immediately go on to... And to obviously normal mode instead of self-driving mode. So,
one thing I did want to bring up since you mentioned not being able to maneuver around cars is if you're running late, what if you want to take a certain path, but the car doesn't know how to get there? Now, you were mentioning before that Google Maps was kind of the precursor to the self-driving car that Google started making, correct?
Yeah. So basically, the way they're doing self-driving cars, and I think what every company is following suit, is that the car needs millions of pictures of the road to be able to make its decisions, to be able to accurately gauge distance. So by doing all that, I don't think inadvertently, but they also managed to make another product, Google Maps. That's how you got that satellite system. That's how you got that, like, you know, you can go 360 on a street, imaging. That's how they got that, because that was going to be used for their cars. So that's where that came from.
Yeah. And see, because of I bring that up because pretty much what I remember hearing is that the way that the car works is it's going to go based off Google Map photos. So if you know a specific shortcut, you're going to have to pretty much take over the wheel because it's just going to go at its own pace. It's going to go at whatever images it's following or whatever programming is going on. Mm-hmm. If there's any human adjustments that need to be made to save time or save whatever sort of need that you need to get to, you're going to have to do it on your own. The car's not going to be able to do it for you.
No. It learns at its own pace, and it requires basically can we trust the consumer to teach the car correctly? Like, your iPhone isn't something that you, like, especially iPhones. Apple are very resistant to anyone up, you know, it's not like Android where you can put your own tech in there. Like, it has to come as a finished product. You can't expect the consumer to, like, okay, you can teach your car a shortcut and hope it doesn't mess it up. Because you don't want your car, like, kind of not getting the correct signals at 80 miles per hour.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, when we talk about self-driving cars, one of the first things that does pop into my head, as I'm sure a lot of other people, is... there's really no other way to sugarcoat it, but fatalities. You know, there are about at least 33,000, if not, I believe, 40,000 fatalities per year with driving. And that's just with humans behind the wheel. Apparently, from what I was reading on an article, if even at least 10% of cars were self-driving cars, the fatalities would end up decreasing by at least 2,000 counts. That is one positive about it. But we also have to remember how reliable are those AIs.
So the fatality right now for self-driving cars happened this year. Back in May in Tempe, Arizona, Dark Road, it was an Uber car. They were test driving it. Now, what Uber's doing or was doing in Arizona before they shut down operations was it was a self-driving car, but there was a human in there who would be the emergency system. So if they, it had to use their judgment. If they thought the car was going to stop or was doing something incorrectly, they have to take over. And it allowed them to. In this situation, it was a darkly lit road. I believe it was a curb. And from preliminary investigations show that, yes, the car did see the woman that it did eventually hit. Unfortunately, it wasn't registering as a human. Mm. First, it was an obstacle. Then it was a bike. And by the time it got to the human factor, she had already been hit. And unfortunately, the person who was supposed to be the emergency was looking down at their phone.
Oof.
So there's a combination of two things here. It's not it is the car's fault, even though it was reading it. But as you can see, the tech, even this advanced tech, it was still too slow. Secondly, the article I was reading was a Wired article. And I love this line because it was like, the irony of getting to self-driving cars is that we're using tons of manpower to basically make sure these cars are going to act the way we want them to act. And it's just tons of data we're collecting right now. And it was just two things that came together to end that woman's life. And I don't know how to say, like, I guess that's part of the reason why I like this topic and why we started this podcast is, like, as gross as it sounds, what's the acceptable limit of human life that's going to be inadvertently taken for tech? Yeah, I know I'm getting serious, but that sucks because she wasn't a willing volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
She just was crossing the road. And yeah, it wasn't a pedestrian crosswalk, but that's a really high price to pay. And the other thing, too, it's these companies that are spearheading. These companies don't have any regulation. No one shut them down from doing this. I mean, it'd be hard to, but no one's shutting them down from this happening. They're just continuing their operations somewhere else. They've ended them in Arizona, for sure. But, you know, these companies don't have any oversight. How much more information are willing to give Google and Uber and the like? And yeah, so it's just a lack of trust. Like, I don't know if they're going to learn what you think you want them to learn from this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, totally. Totally get that. And then it's also, you know, people also say that it would be really nice to have self-driving cars because they eliminate the distraction of a human driver with other passengers inside of the vehicle as well. Like, they can be distracting, or there's outside noises that can be distracting. But in cases like this, where it's the car that was actually malfunctioning, and it's encouraged for the passenger, or in this case, the person who's being driven, to kind of do whatever else they want, you know, kind of do their own thing, maybe look at their phone or read a book or something like that to pass the time. How much responsibility should the person have, let's say instances like that where someone is hurt?
Yeah. You get into an accident and it's a self-driving car. Is the company responsible, or by owning a self-driving car, are you abdicating responsibility?
Mm-hmm. Or in that sense too, is it the, would it pretty much be the manufacturers of the car?
Yeah, because, like, I wonder, that's a great question. I mean, it's a bit of it's a trite comparison, but it's like that dumb machine called Set It and Forget It.
Hmm.
Well, not called that, but that was a stupid tagline. You can set it and forget it. I remember we bought it a long time ago, and then on the sticker on the panel, it said, actually, don't set it and forget it. Don't leave the house. Be near it. Don't leave it alone for too long. So I wonder, when the first self-driving cars are commercially available, is there going to be a big thing in front of the manual saying, actually, you are required to basically keep your hands on the wheel and have your, you know, your feet at the pedals, because this self-driving car may need your help at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not going to happen. It's almost going to be looking at their phone. You're going to be asleep.
Mm-hmm.
the thing's going to be reclined. Like, who's at fault there? Is it the tech, or was it the person who, you know, is it really going to be, well, your warranty manual said you should have been at a 90 degree angle with your hands on the wheel, so actually you killed that person.
Mm-hmm. And then what happens if you don't know how to take control of the wheel? Because let's say self-driving cars kind of become the norm. Let's say prices somehow end up going down and people have more access to those cars.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen if the tech goes out? Because I know one of the big things that people were bringing up is that because it's a run by a computer system inside of the car, it is probably possible that it could be hacked. So if that were the case, what's going to happen to drivers who don't know how to drive a car? Because with the self-driving cars coming into access and more people grabbing them, what if their thought is, I don't need to learn how to drive a car. My car drives me. I don't need to take these classes. I don't need to do any DMV tests or practices. If that car malfunctions and the passenger doesn't know how to take control of the wheel, what's going to happen then?
Yeah, that's a good point. That'll take a few decades, but yeah. It'll almost be like asking someone to like... I'm trying to think of an example. But yeah, that'll take a few decades, but it could happen. The hacking thing scares me.
Yeah, because not only could it malfunction the AI, what if it could also collect personal data from your car too?
Oh, that's already happening. I mean, Google, that's their whole point. They're where do you drive by? Oh, do you drive by like three McDonald's every time? Oh, great. McDonald's would love to know that. Mm. So whenever you're playing on the radio or your in-car system tells you or something, or that's what Google does. They sell ads. So all the information they're gathering on you is for ad targeting. So yeah, so that's what they're doing in the guise of, you know, it's just another way for them to advertise at you basically. So that's another good thing to think about.
Yeah. So what do you think? We're at pretty much the end of our segment. Are you pro self-driving cars? Are you con self-driving cars? Are you kind of in the middle? What do you think?
I think I'm just gonna have to go on con. I think mostly not because I think the idea is not nice, but the people spearheading it, I don't think have quite as much value on human life as they do the bottom line, profit-wise. So these are not the people who I want to be spearheading that. But that's just me.
I'd actually agree with you, but more in the sense of I think there's a lot of good that the idea of self-driving cars can do, you know, in the sense that it gives people more access to vehicles that can't drive or have trouble with public transportation, which is a big plus. However, the whole idea that any malfunction could completely jeopardize the person in the vehicle or anybody else for that matter, there's so many factors that could happen. Whether, for instance, the car could be hacked and malfunction or any other sort of incident like that. I mean, there's a lot of fatalities that do happen because of human error when driving, which is really unfortunate. But I feel like as many lives as this idea could save and benefit, there could also be a lot of harm that can be done by it. I mean, lots of people would end up losing their jobs in public transportation. And you just never know what's going to happen. I feel like it's a good idea, but the way that it's being handled right now, where human lives are just kind of being cast aside for the sake of tech or improvement, it just kind of shows how scary of a cost it could be to get to where we want this AI system to be.
So Lewandowski, he was one of Google's basically techs who was spearheading the self-driving tech before he moved to Uber, is now being sued by Google to see who owns what, basically. He is quoted as saying, "It is your job to advance technology. Safety cannot be your number one concern. If it is, you'll never do anything. It's always safer to leave the car in the driveway. You'll never learn from a real mistake." So that's why I think the wrong people are it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently that dude's a big asshole, which I can buy. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
Great. Great. Yeah. Well, let us know what you guys think. Are you pro self-driving cars, con, kind of in the middle, in between? We'll leave that up to you. Okay, these are just, we're just two science enthusiasts who just really wanted to talk about this in this segment. So thank you very much for listening.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Tune in next week. Next week we got our episode of...
TBD? Yeah.
Yes.
To be decided.
But you can bet it's definitely going to be a good one, so make sure to stick around.
Thank you.
Bye.